Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On a stormy Thursday, it's definitely raining here right now.
Gonna get worse here real soon.
Yeah, batten down the hatches. That's what I'd say if I were Captain Ahab.
In fact, it's worth noting, we didn't realize this, but on our radio broadcast, apparently during our interview with Coach Strickland, there was a brief interruption saying, you know, a storm is inevitable or whatever, a warning. The online version, if you want to go listen to that interview again, will not have that interruption. And if we do get interrupted in this next segment with our man Bill Shanks, and you miss something, you can always go to the online on demand and you'll hear it in its entirety. So we will not rob Mr. Shanks of his airtime.
And we definitely don't want to do that.
Absolutely not.
Because it's some of the best airtime of the week, if not the best.
Many would say it is the best.
Although if Chip were on, I'd say, oh, Chip's is the best. Or, you know, if Brandon's on, I would, you know, I'm definitely going to suck up to the person who's listening to me at the moment. Hey, Bill, good morning. Oh, wait, Bill's listening to us. Hey, good morning. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I vote for Towers.
It's a safe bet. He's the odds-on favorite out of Vegas right now.
He's pretty good. Plus, he's older, so I'll bow to him.
As Kirby would say in his press conference yesterday, more wiser. I think that was the quote that he said about himself, which was a little bit contradictory, but you know, it's if we get what he was trying to say.
Exactly. There you go.
Bill Shanks, BraveCentral.com. And, of course, you can catch basically Bill just anywhere from Middle Georgia to South Georgia, even up into North Middle Georgia or South North Georgia. Hey, wait a minute. Now
just
I'm confusing
Georgia.
Myself. Yeah, Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
Online anywhere.
All right, Bill.
Online anywhere.
Yeah, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Pitchers and catchers in, what, a week from today, or was it a week from yesterday?
Yesterday.
So we are within the one-week bubble of pitchers and catchers going. Those are a string of words that gets me all giddy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. The people with the Braves have already started heading down there. The manager's already down there, so they're going to have meetings this weekend and getting all prepared, so it's here.
There's a tweet or a social media post that I love every single year, and I saw it this week where the Braves kind of show their equipment truck getting loaded up and leaving the Truist Park area, and they're heading down south. So that was always a get-me-excited mode. But
absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I'm excited and ready to get it going. This is that in-between period here that's between the Super Bowl and pitchers and catchers reporting where we're kind of waiting for things. So it'll be nice.
A ton of Braves stuff to get to, obviously. But the last couple of days, it looks like the Dodgers have become a pretty pretty strong team and possibly a favorite to go back to that World Series. Just the magnitude of the deal was insane with Mookie Betts and everybody involved. What was the Bill Shanks reaction when you saw that come across the wire?
Well, obviously it's a 106-win team from last year getting better with Mookie Betts and David Price, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that they are going to have a player of that caliber in their lineup with the National League MVP is kind of scary, but sure, it would have been nice to have been able to have Mookie Betts join the Braves. I think Alex Anthopoulos has been pretty clear this off season that he was really not interested in trading away young talent for a one-year shot of someone like a Mookie Betts. And, you know, there are pluses and minuses to that argument. I mean, you can say, well, are you going for it or not? The Dodgers are obviously going for it, and I think if the Braves were truly 100% no financial restrictions going for it, Mookie Betts would have been an option no matter what. They would have had to give up Christian Pache or Drew Waters, probably, and another pitcher. But, you know, don't tell us you're going for it. I've been just blasted on social media because I've said that I think it's unfortunate the Braves couldn't get in on David Price, who, while he has 3 years and $32 million per year on his contract, and yes, he's 34 years old. If the Red Sox were paying off part of the contract in a deal, I would have taken David Price. I mean, I think the Braves rotation with David Price looks a lot better with it than without it. But evidently I'm in the minority on that, and I just keep continuing to get blasted on social media, which is so much fun. Not that I care too much, but I was surprised. I was surprised at the reaction, because on one hand, people say that they're worried about the rotation, and on the other hand, here's a veteran pitcher who they could have had for possibly, you know, 70 cents on the dollar or something of that nature, and people are like, no, thank you. So, whatever. I mean, that's the trend of not wanting pitchers over 30, and they've already got a 36-year-old. Maybe they thought it was been too old of a rotation, but I think the one thing that we're concerned about more than anything is probably the Braves rotation. And so when I see a pitcher like David Price or anyone else go somewhere else and make the other team better, I kind of wince a little bit.
What was more surprising, the fact, well, not surprising that you figure the Dodgers will be able to pay Mookie, and we're not talking about Wilson or Blaylock, but they could pay Mookie the whatever he's going to command once his contract's over? Or were you more surprised that the fact that the Red Sox are now, you know, having to kind of cut costs here for a little while, which I thought was kind of interesting?
Yeah, I think the Red Sox part's kind of surprising. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm PO'd, you know. I mean, look, they got a good player in Alex Verdugo, and the pitcher, obviously, very highly rated, the one they got from the Twins in the three, or will get in the three-team deal once it's finalized. And they're having to pay part of the contract all. So, like, all right, you're only getting two prospects, and you're having to pay part of the money you gave to these guys as a penalty for being stupid to give that much money, I guess, to them. And I mean, you'd have just thought it would have been more, but it shows you that teams aren't willing to give up a whole lot in that regard. And I mean, Boston, I guess it's a refresh button they're pushing. You know, they're starting over. They didn't want to invest in Mookie. You know, could they have not done that with simply Price and been okay? I guess not. But I mean, there's reason to think that Mookie, I almost called him Mookie Blaylock there. Mookie Betts is going to have a great career and continue. But I know I read the other day that he wanted like an 8-year deal for $425 million or something like that. And I guess, you know, teams are going to have to make the decision whether they want to pay that or not. And I know it's a big decision. There's no doubt it's not an easy call, but it's also not an easy call to trade someone in his prime like they did or are doing with this deal.
Talking with our man Bill Shanks as the Braves season and the Major League season gets closer and closer. I'm trying to think of, like, what kind of pressing issues are there? I mean, other than what we've already discussed, we did get a question from Craig. He emailed in and said, you know, what does this do to the Chris Bryant situation? What do you think it does to that, the Betts trade?
Well, I mean, from all indications, they're going to trade Chris Bryant, and the Nationals and even the Phillies have been mentioned. I don't think the Nationals really replaced their third baseman, Anthony Rendon, so that would seem like a fit there, possibly. I mean, I was told the Braves don't like his defense, which is kind of weird considering the fact they signed Marcell Ozuna. But, you know, again, it's a rental, even for 2 years, and it's like, what do you want to do? I don't know what the Cubs were asking. I know they talked to the Chicago about Chris Bryant at the winter meetings. They had to wait until, of course, the grievance was finalized, and it has been now. So I don't expect the Braves to get in on that. I know there was some Twitter account that was saying it was going to happen, and somebody pretending like they knew what they were talking about. And I just think they're wrong. But anyway, I would be really surprised if that did happen. But I'm sure Bryant's probably going to be traded for the same reasons the Red Sox traded Betts, because they feel like they can't sign him and would prefer to kind of move on. So I'd love to have Chris Bryant in the lineup. Again, you know, and I hate to be skeptical, but the Braves are the ones that put these things out here. Just like last year, Dave, they said, you know, we're shopping in any aisle.
Yeah.
And then they just did Donaldson and McCann and didn't do anything else for 4 months. And then they go and say, we're going after it. We're going to spend some money. And they have spent money. You could make a case, however, the only thing they've actually added is Will Smith. They replaced Josh Johnson with Marcell Ozuna. They replaced Dallas Keuchel with Cole Hamels. They replaced Brian McCann with Travis d'Arnaud. But, you know, as far as adding something, I think Will Smith is the only thing that you could say they've actually added on top of what they already had. And that's a good thing. Your bullpen looks better than it ever has, and it's got a chance to be really good, and that could be a big part of this team for this year. But I think there's still concerns about the rotation. I mean, I'm curious as to what these guys can do, Felix Hernandez and Sean Newcomb. I don't think it's a wasted case to have that combination as the two that will battle it out, or Kyle Wright. I think there can be a solution that will be a positive outcome, but I think there's reason to also be concerned about it because of Folty and his inconsistency, and hoping that Sorokin and Fried will do what they need to do, and then also, of course, hoping that 36-year-old Cole Hamels doesn't get hurt. So, you know, it's a good team. It's a good roster. I think there's a reason, and I think we know, too, this is something we've learned, that the team that we start the season with any baseball team, could look very different at the end. We found that out last year, and it could be the same for this year as well.
Bill, I didn't realize until recently that Christian Pache was on the 40-man roster. And with that, I guess that opens up the opportunity for him to come up to the big league sooner rather than later, if I understand that correctly. But
yeah,
you just kind of joked and made a joke about Marcell Ozuna's defense, which isn't really a joke, but with him being on that 40-man, is it more likely to see him sooner rather than later, not necessarily out of camp or out of spring training, but I imagine you want to keep Ronald Acuña Jr. in left field and not have him wearing himself out in center field if Ender Inciarte got hurt for whatever reason, or Adam Duvall, whoever you have out there. What are the chances that we do see a healthy dose of Christian Pache maybe early and often this season?
I think it's as good of a chance as it was last year when we started the season with Austin Riley kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Austin Riley had had time in AAA in 2018. He had gotten hurt, and then that kind of ruined his 18 chance of coming up. He went to AAA last year, tore it up, and then when there was an opportunity to bring him up, they brought him up in, what, mid-May, mm-hmm. and he tore the cover off the ball. So I think the same thing applies here. If Waters or Pache go to AAA and do well, and there is an opportunity, open roster spot, or a need for them in Atlanta, they're not going to hesitate to bring him up. I mean, I would not be surprised about that at all. You know, you got to kind of filter through this outfield situation with Ozuna and Ender and Markakis and Duvall and Acuña, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see if Ender's going to be traded or how that's going to all shake out. And we'll see that in spring training. I mean, there's depth there, but I think that's something we got to keep in mind. You know, is the opportunity there? Like I said a minute ago, the roster can change over the course of 6 months. Can the contributions that they may need come from the minor leagues? Well, yeah. I mean, they could. If Pache or Waters are doing well and they need help, maybe that's an option for you. If the pitchers down below are doing well in AAA and you need help, maybe that's an option for you. So there's still a lot of talent in this farm system. And Pache, I can't wait to see Pache in the big leagues. I can't. I think offensively we're not going to see him have the same impact that Acuña had when he came up, but defensively, I mean, you know, they were saying 2 years ago, for crying out loud, that he was the best defensive player in the organization. So I can't wait to see him, and I'm sure we will see him this year at some point.
Bill Shanks joining us here. Non-Braves, but a baseball question. You saw yesterday Pete Rose coming out, and he's wanting to get reinstated, especially after this cheating scandal here with the Astros. What are your thoughts on Pete Rose?
I think he has served his punishment for 31 years. He has paid for his sins in ways we probably can't even imagine. It was a terrible thing that he did. We all know that. But considering the use of PEDs and also now this cheating scandal with the Houston Astros and Boston Red Sox and God knows who else, are we into kind of judging crimes here as far as what's the most severe crime? I think Pete, rightly so, saw that, hold on, those players were cheating. They had a system for cheating, and none of the players got punished, even with a 10-day suspension. And I got busted for 3 decades and kicked out of the game and can't go into the Hall of Fame when I'm one of the best players to ever play the sport. What the hell? And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. If I was in his shoes, I'd feel the same way. And I hope that, and from what I read, Dave, I mean, they were pretty much saying, look, MLB, let the voters decide. And that's kind of dangerous, too, because you don't know what that's going to do. But I think most of them would eventually put him in. But let the voters decide. And Pete's not a young man. I think it would be horribly sad if he dies tomorrow and he wasn't even given the chance to go in the Hall of Fame. Because, look, there's not many players in the history of the sport that are incomparable. We don't hear any prospect coming up and say, oh, boy, it's the next Pete Rose. And my co-host yesterday said, you know, maybe Lenny Dykstra was talked about that 30 years ago, and heck, he wasn't even close to Pete Rose. But, I mean, you just don't see people compared to Pete Rose because there's no one to compare him to. I mean, he's incomparable, really. He was that type of unique player that you just didn't see very often in the game, even, you know, 50 years ago when he first came up. So he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's paid his price. He got kicked out. He was a big league manager and a huge name in this sport 30 years ago when that happened, and I hope it'll happen for him one day.
Well, so said, yeah. Am I right? It's Shoeless Joe Jackson, Pete Rose, and John Coppola are, and I'm not joking, but I mean they're banned from baseball. Is there anyone else right now?
Yeah, there's some. Well, I think that Mets pitcher who got popped out for a PEDs a couple years ago. I can't remember his name.
That was a lifetime ban?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, that's about it. So it's.
Do you feel like if Pete hadn't dug in and denied for 15 years, things might be different for him right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Henry Mejia, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and I think he would have, David. I think that did not help his cause at all, and that's a shame. You know, we all knew when it happened that he had done it. I mean, why would he have signed the daggum paperwork to agree to it if he hadn't have done it? So it was wrong and silly of him to do it. If he'd be in the Hall of Fame today, and probably back in the game and in an advisory role with the Reds and be in uniform. I mean, that's just a name that should be in this game. You know, it's. I think it's a great thing for more of the older players to be in the game. This year, this spring coming up in Northport, Florida, Hank Aaron is going to have more of a presence down at spring training with the Atlanta Braves this year more than ever before. And not ever before, but in quite some time. Brian Snicker has asked Hank Aaron to come down and to just be there. And to let the players know him, and you know he's 86 years old. Yesterday was his birthday, and they know the name. But I think Brian Snicker wants Hank Aaron to be around the team even for, you know, 3 or 4 days, let them see him, talk to him, and just get to know him a little bit. And Brian's asking him to do it some during the season as well, which I think is great. The older players need to be known by. I mean, again, to think that Pete Rose is almost a caricature now compared to what he was 30 years ago is sad, but he is. So we'll see what happens with Pete and if he can get in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, how is Bobby Cox's health?
I don't think there's been much change. I think he's still struggling to kind of regain his speech. And you know, I think there's good days and bad days from what I hear. And I don't... I haven't heard whether he's going to be at spring training. I think with Hank Aaron coming, even for a couple of days, it's kind of not replacing Bobby, but having someone, you know, kind of be there like Bobby was at times and so forth. But there's good days and bad days for him. It was a major, major stroke, and I think everybody's just glad he's still here for now, and hopefully he can, you know, continue to improve day by day.
Talking with Bill Shanks. All right, before we let you go, a lot of excitement from yesterday on the traditional signing day, but what were your thoughts?
Well, it couldn't have gone better for Georgia. Everything kind of fell into place with Jones and Manpran and to get the other guys. I kind of like the fact that there were a couple of three-star players that they got just because it tells you how much the coaches liked them and that they feel like they can bring them in and have, you know, player development take over and really mold players they like. You got to give Matt Luke a lot of credit. You got to give the staff members who stepped in when Coach Pittman left a lot of credit as well to continue to have those relationships to where there wouldn't be any drop off or issue after Coach Pittman left. I don't think it could have gone better. And you know, look, there's obviously always a lot of excitement when Georgia does well on National Signing Day, and we know what's got to come at some point down the road, and no one knows that more than Coach Smart, and I believe that, and I think you guys do too, and most Georgia fans do. But you got to have talent, and that. I tell you, I went with my buddies, my Georgia buddies, last night to dinner. Had a little recruiting dinner here in Macon, and we kind of went around and talked about the starting lineup on offense and defense. And when we got to the defense, we were like, "This is too deep. This is a too deep like it was last year." And it's like, well, I mean, that's just a quality defensive team, and you know, there are a lot of. We don't know what the offense. We have no clue. There's a lot of, you know, it took us longer to talk about the offense than the defense, obviously. But my gosh, I mean, I think everybody at our table, the five of us that were there, we were all excited about what Todd Monken can bring to the table, what Jamie Newman can do, who the running backs are going to be, how the line will shake out, what receivers will step up, and. Because there's talent there. You know, it'd be one thing if there were questions and the talent was questionable, mm-hmm. but my gosh, I think we know, not just from the stars, but like from what we see on the tape and there's talent galore. And I don't know if they can equal what the defense might be because that defense, I've never in my life. Yeah. And heck, I mean, it's like on paper, you look at this defense. And we're saying the same things we said in 2019, and they're coming off the season where they led the country in scoring defense, but it's like, how can they get better? And then you look at those players and like, well, there's no doubt that, you know, Trayvon Walker can get better, Nolan Smith can get better, and look at the cornerbacks of having that many cornerbacks that can play and go in and out of there. I mean, it's remarkable what Kirby Smart's done to accumulate talent on that football program.
I would even say the unknowns on the offense are what's going to make this offseason exciting. We know the definition of insanity, expecting different results, doing the same thing. Had James Coley stayed in place and we didn't think there would be any change at all to the offense, I'd say we're having a pretty negative offseason in terms of outlook, but I think that unknown is a reason that we'll count those days down with a little more excitement.
Absolutely. I agree, Logan. I mean, we clamored because of the issues that we saw at times during 2019 for some adjustments, you know. I'll use that word. And I think I give Coach Smart tremendous credit. I didn't really think it would happen unless Mike Bobo came back. And I still think Bobo and Muschamp will be back in a year. But anyway... You know, to give Kirby credit, and we got to see it on the field, but still, I mean, it certainly gives the impression that he's going to allow Coach Monken to do different things. There are just players, and I can't wait to see Jamie Newman. I'm really excited about this guy. I don't know. I mean, look, I joked a year ago that Jake Bentley would be the quarterback for Georgia in 2020 because I thought he would transfer. If Jake went to the NFL, and of course that didn't happen, but they could not have gotten a better stopgap at quarterback than Jamie Newman. And on top of that, now to have this type of offense be implemented, I mean, that's just you want to talk about the dominoes falling into place? They did.
Bill, always great, my man. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Y'all stay dry up there. It's gonna be a rainy day in Georgia, but.
Are y'all getting the nastiness too?
Yeah, it's going to be. We got a lot last night and going to get more today, evidently, an inch or two. So it's going to be kind of wet out there, so be careful.
Next time we talk, there'll be pitchers and catchers doing pitcher and catcher things. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I know what I was going to ask you because this came up yesterday with Hank Aaron's birthday. The home run that he hit to break Babe Ruth's record. Those were Waycross guys that were on – those were students, right, that ran around the bases from – you had a connection to them, didn't you?
I did, yep. They went to the school I went to in Waycross, Southwood School, and I went to school for 12 years with one of those guys' sisters, Britt Gaston, who passed away a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
And Cliff Courtney was the other one. And I don't know where Cliff lives now. I met Cliff actually at Britt's father's funeral. That was the only time I'd ever met Cliff because they were older than I was.
Right.
They, you know, I was four and they were, you know, in high school. So they were like 14, 15 years older than I was. And so, but yeah, that they were. As a matter of fact, my algebra teacher, who lives right there in Athens, I come to see her usually because we share the same birthday in March, and she, great lady, she told the story a lot about how Cliff and Britt were in her class, and she's sitting there watching a game with her husband, and here comes Hank around second, and all of a sudden here comes two kids around to, you know, go after him or applaud him. Which is a wonder they didn't get shot, considering all that was going on in hindsight. And she turns to her husband and says, "Well, I guess I now know why Cliff and Britt weren't in algebra class today." and she just was in shock that two of her students were running around the bases in Atlanta. And, you know, I think Hank bailed him out at some point because he realized they weren't trying to hurt him or whatever. And they spent the night in the Atlanta lockup and got back to Southwood School the next day. But yeah, it was it's always quite a story to, and it used to be so fun when that clip was on the opening of the Saturday game of the week on NBC, David, because it was like, there's Waycross, Georgia popping up for you.
Always a great reminder, for sure. That's cool stuff. Bill, thanks again, my man.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Bill. Thanks, you too. Our man Bill Shanks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.